Hey, it's Bethany. Welcome to another episode of Dialed In. You are going to have your eggs scrambled in this episode. I loved this time I spent with my dear friend, Michelle Burkhard. She is truly one of my most favorite people. She's such an encourager, and she keeps pushing me to take the steps to live my very best life. I love her dearly. And in this episode, we talked about triggers. Like, what triggers you? What are the things that cause you to feel offended or hurt or immediately pissed off? And where does it come from? And how is it tied to beliefs? And how is it tied to resentment and forgiveness? And oh my goodness, you will love it. This episode is an hour long. It's one of the longest ones we've done, but I promise you it is absolutely worth your time. So as you're navigating through what triggers you and things that you're not sure maybe how to connect the dots going backwards, I have a process that I put together that can be helpful. And you can get that at biglife.resources/lens, L-E-N-S. It is a lens method for asking yourself really good questions to identify what is going on behind the emotion that's driving you. So, all right, buckle up. This episode will make your mind spin. Until next time, thanks for being here. Welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I'm coming to you live today from my bedroom because I'm killing it. And I have with me Michelle Burkhard. Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hello. So glad to be here today.
So you heard all about Michelle in the introduction, and this is not Michelle's first time on Dialed In. She's been here before. But today we're approaching it a little bit differently. I've been reading the book Loving What Is by Byron Katie, and parts of it have been like scrambling my eggs a little bit. Other parts are like, oh yeah, I knew this. This is amazing. What a different way to look at it. This is great. But I asked Michelle to come on because Michelle studied Byron Katie for a long time. And I asked her to bring her insight into navigating basically when we're triggered and what that means and the choices that we have to deal with it. So I'm going to let you like unwrap that wherever you want to start, Michelle.
That's a tall order right there. You know, I think the first thing, you know, when you talk about being triggered, you know, let's just clarify here what that really means, at least in this kind of a conversation, because I would suspect if we put 100 people on the show and ask them what it means to be triggered, we're probably going to get, I don't know, at least 20 to 30 different definitions. Mm-hmm. So this idea of triggered, what we're talking about today is that you're having a conversation, something happens in your conversation with anybody, really, or it can be, hey, you could be listening to this podcast right now, or you could be watching a TV show or listening to the radio, and all of a sudden you're triggered, right? And you feel something inside. And it's typically when we say we're triggered, it's something that is not pleasant, mm-hmm. right? Usually it's connected to anger, or it can be connected to shame. And we don't understand. And because we don't, as Socrates says, know thyself, we don't know ourselves well enough. We don't understand what's happening. And what is typically a human reaction is that you say, okay, cause and effect, right? So the person outside of me, whatever just caused that feeling inside of me, just triggered me. Mm. When in reality, that wasn't the first cause. That was the secondary cause. But the first cause, as Thomas Traugr talks about, is that there was something inside you. It was like a button was pushed. Mm-hmm. And again, let's say the same exact interaction happens between, great one. Let's talk about kids, right?
Anybody
at home during a pandemic with children understands what triggered means, right? And so, you know, you can have two parents in the home and a child can say something or do something and it bothers one parent and not the other. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you have something inside you that when you're bothered, you were just triggered. But the other parent doesn't have that. And so it's not really that big of a deal.
Right.
So is the thing that happened outside you really the cause? No, that's a condition. And so what do you do with that? And I think honestly, the first thing, the biggest thing is really this awareness piece that if you understand that, okay, what happened outside of me is not really the problem. The problem is that there's something inside that needs to be worked on. Then you can really understand this cause and effect thing. But until we look, you know, continue to keep looking outside ourselves, we'll always think that somebody else is our problem. One of my mentors said, if somebody else can make you mad, sad, or glad, you've been had. Mm-hmm. Because you get to choose how you're going to feel about something. And it might be a minute second in between, you know, stimulus and response, but you still get to choose that.
I think that's where the power is, Michelle. Like understanding that you do have a choice. Just because you feel angry or you feel like you need to speak your mind or you want to maybe have a confrontation with somebody, you have the power to not act on that feeling. And
yeah.
I mean, seriously, like that type of self-control, that's like a superpower.
Oh, yeah. So I'll give you a great example how this shows up in the workplace. So I cannot tell you how many meetings I've attended in my life. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, Michelle, you know how to run really good meetings. Teach me. And all of a sudden, it became a thing that I do that I'm like, It's not like I hung my shingle out and said, hey, I'm going to be a meeting consultant. It sneaks up on me. And which means that I get to go to all these really horrendous meetings and try to fix them. Mm-hmm. And I have a ton of fun now. It's like a big soap opera that I get to kind of digest. But I can't tell you how many meetings where I've sat in there and I realized the train of thought that this group was in is going to harm people in the end. They want to do good, right? But yet they haven't considered X, Y, and Z. And eventually they're going to spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources, and they're going to hurt their people in the process. Mm. And in that moment, you're going, okay, I see this. How come they don't see that? And whose job is it to help them see that? Mm-hmm. And I have to be very careful because there is the purpose, right? So I want them to be able to ask some questions to raise their awareness to move along on their journey, but I can't come right in and tell them because if I do, they're going to be triggered. Mm-hmm. Right. And if they're triggered, now I'm the problem and not what the real problem is.
Right.
And so I don't have the luxury to look at these people and say, wow, you're a moron. Like, you know, I have to say, okay, I don't know what's going on here. I really don't. I come with the assumption that I don't know what's happening. And so I just have to try to gather as much data as I can. And I have to leave my thoughts and feelings aside and help this group kind of move along. But also, gosh, when I get right down to it at the end of my day, I go, okay, why did that one comment bother me? It's not about that person. Mm-hmm. It's not about what they said or did. And typically it's something that happened to me sometime in childhood, you know, usually goes back to that, right? Where we develop all of our beliefs and, you know, I have to go back and I have to kind of reevaluate some things. Or maybe I had that meeting right before lunch and I was hungry. I needed to eat to be a little bit more aware. So I can't just look at, you know, this guy's being a jerk. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that goes into it. And so, yeah, I think that is a superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. As you're talking, two things came to mind. One, Taylor Swift's song, Look What You Made Me Do, which is the opposite of personal responsibility. It's the yep. opposite of being accountable for your actions. And secondly, I just had an awareness happen as you were talking. So
I regularly talk about how when I was growing up, I can see now how I just didn't feel like I was good enough. And everybody I've ever coached or talked to on any depth struggles with a level of insignificance. And it comes out of not feeling worthy, good enough, smart enough, whatever. But we all have it, right? And for me, I like literally tried to shrink. Like I was really tall and I would walk with my shoulders hunched and try to like blend in and definitely didn't use my voice. And I remember in sixth grade being in a math class and I was terrified of the teacher, and he would just randomly call on students to give answers, and you had no idea when he was going to call on you. And he called on me and I didn't have the right answer. And I remember like kids snickering, you know, and I just used that to solidify the fact that I wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And what happened is as I grew, graduated, went to college, and then got a career where I was in charge of people, when my bosses would come and they would ask me questions, my first response was to be defensive.
Yep.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, what if I get this wrong, I'm not going to be enough. Now, I wasn't consciously thinking that, but my subconscious was totally taking
that
over.
That button was triggered.
Absolutely. And so for years, I ran on that. And I had two instances of bosses that came to me. The first one said, you're an amazing employee and you're a great leader, but you get really defensive when people ask you questions. You know how I responded? No, I don't.
Exactly.
And the second boss, I remember us having a meeting and she sat across from me and she's like, Bethany, I am not responsible for your lifetime of insecurity. And both times, like, I couldn't connect the dots. I didn't, I had such a blind spot around it. And it wasn't until I started working with a coach that I began to uncover like what all those things meant through the years. I had no idea, right? Of course, I thought it was them, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're just triggering me. You're just trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong. I'm working so hard to be perfect because I think if I'm perfect, then I'll be enough. And, you know, obviously none of those were conscious thoughts, but all underneath, right?
Yep.
And I was triggered on a regular basis, not necessarily by the people that reported to me that I worked with every day, but by the people that were above me, because I felt like they were going to find out that I really didn't know what I was doing, because that was my biggest fear. I wasn't enough, right? So the thing that came to me when you were talking is the connection with the questions goes back to my sixth grade math teacher. Like that's why being questioned was a trigger. And I've known the underpinning for all these years, but just as you're talking, that was like,
oh yeah.
Wow. Okay. There's another connection point. I can see how it goes back.
And one of the great things is that now you're going to see that pattern in so many other areas. Now that you had that one little aha moment, you're going to see it in other things. You're going to go, oh, I see that one now. Oh, I see that one now. Mm-hmm. And that's what Socrates meant by know yourself. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, I'm just so much into this kick right now. Like, how much can I learn about myself? There will never be enough time for me to learn about myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another huge shift in awareness. And when you're talking about this whole triggering idea, when you realize the trigger comes from you, mm-hmm. You know, like you and I could be experiencing the same exact thing and I could be looking at it one way. You could be looking at it another. Somebody else could be looking at it completely another. And that's just how life works. But how we choose to go forward from there is really, it is a choice. Mm-hmm. And it, of course, a choice is a function of awareness. Mm-hmm. So if you're not aware of a choice, you can't make a choice. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say, you know, if we're talking about this whole idea of being triggered, understanding the trigger comes from inside you, not another person. And then realize, what can I do with that? I've been working with a ton of coaching clients right now. And for whatever reason, it always comes back to this idea of forgiveness and generosity. I don't know why. And it's probably because that's kind of something I'm focusing on, I'm sure. And it's usually in relation to them transitioning to a new job. I've got about 6 clients right now that all within the last 2 weeks got a new job, got a promotion.
Wow.
It's you know, every day something's coming through and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So we're riding that wave. But each one of them has had significant shifts in their understanding and awareness of forgiveness. And, you know, when you really, really work on forgiveness, I'm not talking like, you know, make it a habit, like you're, you know, saying I'm thankful and grateful for this, but like really make forgiveness a habit, trying to really understand, gosh, your life begins to change and you get to this point where there's nothing to forgive. And it's kind of like when I go into those meetings and I'm trying to understand what's happening and I might look at this guy and go, oh my gosh, he's a jerk. And everybody in the room might agree with me. Right. But yet I don't know his story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what led up to that. I don't know what he's being triggered by right now. And so I have to acknowledge all of those things. And I also have to say, okay, I'm in a very different spot. I have different choices that are available to me right now in this moment than maybe he does.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I help him to get unstuck and not be triggered so he can lead his team well?
Mm-hmm.
And so not just looking at, you know, how can I help him run a good meeting, but like, man, buddy, we got to talk about your heart a little bit. There's something there. And I think until you're really, really willing to step into that place, you're always going to be triggered.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's being triggered and being offended are kind of like, you know, siblings, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen the I don't know if it's a quote on Facebook that says, you know, a healed person won't be offended and an unhealed person will always look to be offended. And
yeah.
I found that true in my journey. I mean, what I remember once I started uncovering that I was basically the root cause of all of my unhappiness and all of me feeling stuck and all the things, it was like Pandora's box was opened.
Yeah.
And like, once you see one, you start to see more and like there's hundreds. And I remember saying to my coach, I'm never going to get through all this. Like, and he's like, you'll get through it and then you'll rise and you'll be at a different level and then you'll have a new box.
Yep.
And, but now instead of being burdened by that, I'm like, bring it on. Yes. I'm empowered by it. Like, how amazing is it to be able to see what I call your crazy and deal with it, tuck it in, move on, like, you know, and then go to a new level. Like,
yes.
The more aware I become, the more peaceful I am. And I'm doing a 9-week program it's a group coaching program called Big Life You. And this week was Belief Week. And we talked about how, like, especially for women, my experience with women is when we don't believe we're enough, which basically, like I said earlier, is everybody.
Yeah.
We're either at one side of the board or the other. Like the pendulum swings one way or the other. Either we're this way and we're mousy and we shrink and we don't use our voice and we don't ask for what we want and we just say, everything's fine, I'm fine, everything's fine. But then you're on the inside, you're resentful and like angry and probably triggered a lot, but you don't ever show it. And then the other end of the spectrum is you're a bitch. Like you're so outspoken and overbearing that people are terrified of you.
You overcompensate.
Yeah. But both ways you're screaming.
Yeah.
You know, somebody see me, make me feel enough both ways.
Yep.
And my goal is to be right here in the middle, you know? Yep. And obviously if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can't see my magnificent hand gestures, but right here in the middle. And that the middle for me is where I'm like aligned with spirit, source, like it comes through me. Cause I can't be aligned if I'm like over this way or over this way. Right. I've got to be like,
I think of it as, a garden hose. So if you're outside and you're working with your garden and the hose is hooked up and you've got water flowing through and you're, you know, watering really well, you want that constant source of flow from source to through you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are things in our self-image that we picked up along the way. And I mean, let me just put this out there. Yes, we've picked them up and we've chosen to keep them and to cultivate them.
Right.
And so there's that, but they cause these little kinks in your garden hose. And mm-hmm. so you might be getting out a little bit of water in your life. Maybe you're seeing some results, maybe in one or two areas of your life, or, you know, maybe your family life is going really well, but, you know, your work and your health is not so much. Mm-hmm. There's something that's clogging up your hose. And mm-hmm. so what we want to do in that coaching process is really come through and help you see, here's where your particular kink is. Let's work on that one a little bit. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, just like with these coaching clients I have, they all got these new jobs and promotions. Maybe one out of the six has actually made the connection with their kink being forgiveness. Mm. Now the other five, they have it coming. So if they're listening, they either have this week or maybe next week. But I'm definitely going to pinpoint that out, because it wasn't, you didn't gain a skill that got you that job. You didn't, you know, it wasn't about your resume. It wasn't, mm-hmm. it was all about getting you personally unstuck.
Right.
But I'll go back to this idea that of you are the problem and you are the solution. Mm-hmm. First of all, when you understand that you are the problem, when you truly understand that, that is scary. That is right. scary. And it can be a shameful place.
Because absolutely.
You know, you've got to go back and you've got to see, okay, not only, all right, we can understand, okay, this thing happened to me when I was two. Obviously, I wasn't consciously in charge of that, right?
Right.
However, I continued to keep that belief and I continued to cultivate that belief. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, choice is a function of awareness. So then when you come to that point where you're more aware and you realize, oh, I did that. Now you have to go to the next part, which says, I am the solution. Mm-hmm. And that's where the freedom comes. Mm-hmm. But you first have to get through that really icky part of I am the problem. And most people don't want to ever approach that point of it. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about this, you know, being triggered in a conversation, it's so much easier to say the other person triggered me. The other mm-hmm. person is being a jerk. They offended me. Because then you don't have to approach that you are the problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Of course, it's much easier to blame than to take accountability. I heard someone say once, it's radical personal responsibility. Like, that's what it is. Like, they call it RPR.
Yeah.
Where you really understand that you're the problem and you're the solution. Like, yeah. you have all the power. And
I'll give you a great example of how this showed up for me in my life.
Okay.
So I tell this story all the time, but the background that I grew up in wasn't the greatest. I truly, truly believe in my heart that parents do the very best with what they can and what they have. I mm-hmm. truly believe that. Mm-hmm. No parent ever wakes up one day and says, how can I screw up my kid today? That's just right. not what we do.
Right.
Unfortunately, my parents didn't have a lot and they didn't know a lot. And so, you know, without going into great detail, I was put into situations where no 2, 3, 4-year-old should ever be in. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of abuse of all kinds. There was neglect. You know, we were just poor, right? We just didn't, and not the poor that you didn't know about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. The poor that you were painfully aware of it. And so I say that because I learned really early, you know, when your parents are working 5 jobs just to keep food on the table between the two of them, and they're dropping you off at so-and-so's house, and bad things happen. I learned really early to stay safe. You have to be still, small, and quiet. Mm. Now, as a 2, 3, and 4-year-old, think about that. That is smart. That is intelligent mm-hmm. to come up with that belief to say, I'm going to keep myself safe. And, mm-hmm. and that worked for me, right? Because we developed this belief that this is going to keep me safe in this environment. And it absolutely did. Now, fast forward, you know, 20, 30 years later, when I'm trying to get into a speaking business. And here I am, like, canceling classes and appointments left and right. Like, oh no, it's raining outside. Let's not have a class today. Like,
right.
you know, and I couldn't quite understand this until I really started to understand myself and realized that I had that belief of, hey, it's not safe mm-hmm. unless you're still small and quiet.
Mm.
So how can I be still small and quiet if I'm doing what I'm doing right this moment? You can't.
Right.
And so then I had to say, I am the problem because, okay, I didn't develop that belief to be harmful to myself when I was 3. Mm-hmm. It was very helpful. However, now that I know about it, what am I going to do? Right. Mm-hmm. And so I had to work on myself to develop new beliefs of, hey, I've got to go out and start telling my story. I've got to go out and help people because, you know, if I help them, they can help other people and, you know, massive impact. And how am I going to serve? And yeah, that was hard work. Mm-hmm. But if I had always said, and some people could look at my story, all kinds of parts of my story, and they could say, Michelle, you'd have every excuse in the book for not doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine, but I'm also the solution. And so I can do something about that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are times I actually have a quote up here. It says it's a Byron Katie quote. Actually, she says, every belief is about being careful. Every belief is about being careful. And then there's another one that I made into a meme not too long ago. She says, don't be careful. You could hurt yourself. Don't be careful. You could hurt yourself. I think about that all the time. It's so true because every belief that we developed was there to keep us safe in a current environment, right?
Right.
But if you're trying to go to a new environment, if you're trying to have a new pattern, let's say, you know, you have a significant other and my husband and I were getting ready to celebrate 18 years here in a couple weeks. You know, when
congratulations.
Thank you. I haven't killed each other yet, but there's still time. But when you've been married that long, you know, I joke with people, you don't have like 750 fights. You mm-hmm. have 749 versions of the first fight you ever had.
Right.
So until you go back to that very first fight and try to figure out, first of all, why was that a fight? What was the trigger in both of us? What happened? Until you understand that one, you will not understand what just happened yesterday. That's what truly understanding yourself is. So using that trigger as a springboard to jump off into knowing yourself and actually doing something about it, as opposed to, you know, I'm gonna blame, shame, and guilt the other person.
Hmm. Yeah. So when you first started, well, maybe a better way to phrase this is, how did you first start to become aware that you were the problem and the solution?
You know, I think, first of all, for me, it was a matter of realizing, whoa, when you get to adulthood and you start looking around and realizing not everybody had the same experience as you, right? So you realize what's quote unquote normal and what's not. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I became a parent and realized, I probably don't know how to do this whole parenting thing. I need to figure out how to be a good mom because mm-hmm. I realized I didn't have that. And by the way, when I realized that, I just signed up for my master's in early childhood education. There are much simpler, cheaper ways to do that.
Overachiever.
I'm a lifelong learner. And I'm so thankful for that time. It really did help me because it taught me what was happening in my child, taught me about child development, taught me about brain development, really set me on the road to some of the things that I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. But really it was this desire to want something different, realizing that there are other people out there who have something different than I did. But I think the big mental shift there was not, they have something and I don't. It was, I think I can have that too. Because it's really easy to say they have something and I don't. This is why I have a problem sometimes when we talk about equality and equity and, you know, giving handouts and things like that. I have a real problem with it because the underlying assumption is that somebody has something, we need to take it away from them and give it to somebody else. No, you don't. You need to turn back to this person and say, this is the story of how I got here. What do you want? How can I help you get there? Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of, here, let me give you something so you can hopefully get there. I think right. that is doing a disservice to people. But looking back and saying, what do you want? How can I help you get there? And I'm going to believe in you even more than you believe in yourself, and mm-hmm. you will get there. So which one is more of a help?
Right. But
anyway, that's a whole nother podcast, I think. but really this idea of other people have something. I want that. How did they get it? Mm-hmm. and really going down that road of just knowledge and understanding. And somewhere along the line, I realized, whoa, there's something in me that might need to get fixed. And then I was going from one self-help book to the next, just focusing a lot on understanding my past, a lot on forgiveness, and just developing myself as a person. And I think when you enter that stream, all of a sudden, all of the resources, the ideas, the people that you need just find you. You're like a magnet.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not even sure who said this. It may be Paul Martinelli, one of our mentors, but when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, you know, like that whole, maybe that's not from him, maybe he repeated it, but I think there's so much truth to that. And that's really when I started on the path of self-discovery and really got serious about it. Like, because you can say you're on that path and not be. I was like the self-help regurgitator.
Oh, you're shelf help, right?
Shelf help.
That's what I call them. You're a big shelf helper. You've got all the books. Like if you're seeing my screen, you see I've got a lot of books. These actually aren't even the real books. Like I've got like 7 or 8 other bookshelves in my bedroom. But
yes,
and it's not just, I've got 4 piles of books right here that you can't even see on my desk. These are the books I use nearly every day, and I might not crack their cover every day, but I know enough about them that if I'm doing an email and somebody asks me a question and it's a leadership question, I look over here at my pile of books. Boom. I get the idea. I get the answer. I type it back. When you get it inside you, then it ceases to be a book you put on the shelf and you hope you use someday. Right. Now it's like, I recently had this experience here in our neck of the woods. A couple months ago, we had what they term a 500-year flood. Mm-hmm. We had tons of storms. You might have saw it on the international news. Still, parts of our community are cleaning up after it. But it was a real eye-opener for me, because when you have to evacuate your house, what do you take? That's a real eye opener, right? And so I realize as I'm packing, first of all, the computer has to go. If I'm doing an online business, we need the computer.
Right.
Yeah, sure. We got to at some point put the kids in the car too, right? but the books, and I was like, okay, which books? Because I know you can replace a book. There are some books on this pile that cannot be replaced. The notes, some of them are just held together by duct tape. Those are the ones that I took. And my kids were like, why are you taking the books I just bought this year? I can replace. These have been lived in. And those thoughts and ideas are in me. And of course my husband said, well, if they're in you, then why do you need to pack them in your suitcase? I'm like, no, you don't understand.
You don't understand. Right. But
yeah, it's really, and I think that's the key, is being consistent in this personal growth journey and realizing that it's not just reading the book, because you can read one sentence and it can totally blow you away. Well, if you're going to jump into reading Byron Katie, man, you got to be ready for Byron Katie. That is not for everybody. And that's why when I'm looking at my thing and it says every belief is about being careful, that one idea, you can meditate on that for days or weeks.
Right.
And so you don't need a whole book to do that, but you do have to reflect on it and say, what does this mean to me? And again, you know, you can read a book and you can be triggered and you can say, oh, this author clearly doesn't get it. Right.
Right.
Maybe right. You don't get it.
Right. Right. If it butts up against a belief you have, and I mean, all of those things are worth investigating, all of that. So, I don't even know. It may have been Byron Katie. I've been reading her and several other books this last week. And I had this moment after meditation where it occurred to me, which maybe like I'm going to say this. I have this fear I'm going to say this and you're going to be like, duh, Bethany. But it's okay. It's fine. It doesn't mean I'm not enough. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. It occurred to me that any time that you're not feeling peaceful or at ease, that you're you're probably believing a belief that isn't true. You're arguing with reality somehow. Yeah. Like something is off because we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Yeah. Spiritual beings aren't constricted and pressurized and in stress. Spiritual beings aren't, you know, aren't triggered. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So if I'm truly wanting to live in that space and that alignment, I have to be mindful of that. And so now, like anytime I'm not at ease, I'm just like, hey, what's happening in my head? Like, what am I believing or what am I attaching to that I don't need to attach to? What do I need to let go?
It really comes down to understanding. So I want to go back to one thing that you said about, you know, fighting against this belief that maybe it's not true. Well, maybe it is. And you're fighting against it that it is. And so I'll give you one of the things that I'm trying to teach my my family here. Gotta look to see who's behind the camera. One of the things, because if you know anything about the DISC personality profile, mm-hmm. we in our family have a lot of C-type individuals. So Cs tend to, when they're overcompensating, they just know everything. Mm-hmm. Right? And they have no qualms about telling everybody that they're wrong. And so that can be, you know, you can get 4 to 5 people in this house telling everybody that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's not always helpful.
Right.
And then there's mom over here who has more S than C, who's like over in the corner just being quietly right while everybody else is wrong. Like, I don't have to tell you you're wrong. I can believe that you're wrong. But anyway, so we're trying to kind of come upon this idea of what is true and what is more true. Mm. And understanding that, you know, when the 5 of us come together, that there's one perspective. This person is sharing something that is equally as true as what I am sharing. Mm-hmm. And not as much true as all 5 of our perspectives put together. Mm. So realizing there's value in everything, everybody's opinion or belief or perspective, whatever you want to call it, and that the current truth of what we know is the combination of them all. And guess what? Any one of us could learn something different by tomorrow, and tomorrow mm-hmm. we could have even more truth. Mm-hmm. And I think when you focus on it that way, it takes the sting out of you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, that kind of thing. No, what is right and what is more right? Mm-hmm. And I was having this conversation with my husband the other day. It was about perspective pretty much. I didn't have my glasses on or something. And, I know what it was. So during this pandemic, he's really been cultivating what he calls a glorious beard. A glorious beard. And so I didn't have my glasses on. I was getting out of the shower and he said something about, you know, his beard. And I said, well, but from back here, it looks a lot smaller because number one, I don't have my glasses on and of course perspective. And he's like, no, you know, it's the same size. And I said, well, yeah, I know physically it's the same size. Like it hasn't grown or lessened. Right? But my perspective, I'm over here away from you without my glasses on, it's smaller.
Right.
And so the conversation was really around, okay, he couldn't quite understand. No, it hasn't changed. It's not changed at all. Like, I don't understand why you don't understand this. I'm like, I don't understand why you don't understand perspective. Right. And so really going back to, okay, this is a right and a right and a more right kind of situation, not you're right and I'm wrong.
Yes.
And how many of our conversations end up that way with anybody in any area of our life where, you know, somebody's saying, hey, I had this interchange with somebody on Facebook not too long ago. And we were talking about this idea of, feelings. And he asked this question and he said, how do you make your people feel? So really what he was trying to say is like, how the people that you serve, you know, what do you do to make them feel X, Y, Z, right? But the question he asked was, how do you make them feel? And so I came back and I said, well, I don't make them feel anything.
I saw that. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So I... And I mean, I've really been picky about what I talk about on Facebook these days, but I just thought I needed to share this one. And I went down the bunny hole with him, and long story short, he could not understand, but I was trying to explain to him, listen, whenever, if you know me, if you follow my body of work for any length of a time, you understand that I am all about, like, how can I encourage you? How can I support mm-hmm. you? Like, mm-hmm. I want to give you love. All of those good, positive things. Now, yes. if you need a good, swift kick in the butt, I'll do that, but I'll do it very right. gently. I really will. I'm not mean about it. And so for me, when I think about how do I make my people feel, well, I can't make you feel anything because quite frankly, I could be encouraging you and supporting you and you could be taking it going, oh, man, you're such a jerk. And because you have a choice about how you feel. Mm-hmm. And equally, I could be having a hard time and, you know, really spout something off and you just be like, oh, Michelle, it's okay. Right. I mean, I had a moment not too long ago and Bethany was kindly reminding me who I was. Right. And she didn't make me feel better, but her words invited me to, a more of a wholeness in myself. So her words invited me to make myself feel better, but she didn't make me feel better. And so as I was going down this trail trying to describe this, he thought for some reason, and I don't know why, he didn't believe in this and that I have to, you know, give people love and I have to make them feel good or I'm somehow disempowering them.
Oh.
And I said, I don't understand how me allowing anybody to have their own feelings is disempowering.
Right.
I think that's actually the most empowering thing that you can do as a human being for another human being is yes. to allow them to have their own identity and choice. And so it became this, you know, he kind of laughingly joked it off like, oh, we're going to have to agree to disagree, which is fine. Right. And I walked away from it going, I don't think you're quite there in the awareness mm-hmm. yet. And he hasn't walked my journey. He doesn't, and we're never going to come eye to eye on Facebook on this.
Right.
But at one point I was like, okay, but we are seeing some very similar things. And because of his block, he couldn't quite see it. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to say, that's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's just where you're at. Not right. in a different place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay. And there's power in that.
Yeah.
When you don't have to like take your ego and put it out in front of you and like virtually shake somebody to make them see something your way. It's, you know, you be you and you do you and you're on your journey and I'm on mine. And if I can help and support you in any way, great. And if not, I wish you the best.
Yeah. It's really understanding where's the flow and where's the resistance.
Right.
You know, if there is resistance, and clearly there was resistance on this guy's part for whatever reason, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, and that's okay. But once mm-hmm. I realized there's resistance there, ooh, it's not my job to help you unkink your hose.
Right.
You're on your journey and I'm not your guide. So mm-hmm. be well, you know?
Right.
And then there are times like when I'm in these meetings and I have to be very careful because there is, sometimes these meetings I'm in, people are making decisions with millions of dollars and mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of people's lives mm-hmm. on the line here. And so I want to be very cognizant and aware of what's happening in this meeting. Mm-hmm. And I have to go where the flow is. And so for whatever reason, if it's over here, that's where we're going to go hang out because I know eventually we're going to be able to come over to what the real problem is. And so realizing I can't afford to have the luxury of being stuck in my own feelings right now because none of this is about me.
Right.
And I've gotten to the point where I realize, okay, let's say I'm in a conversation and something triggers me. Boop, something in the back of my head says, file this one away. We're going to come back to this one later today.
Yeah.
And then there's usually a process right before bed where I go through my day and thankfully, as I've gone through year after year of doing this, there's less of those moments. However, I do find that the moments that I'm triggered, they have a lot more attachment to some deep stuff. So, you know, I might not be forgiving the guy that cut me off in traffic because now I'm just like, hey, buddy, you know, whatever it is. I used to have not road rage, but a good healthy dose of road impatience.
is that right under? Yes. Like, where does that fall? If road rage is here, okay.
Yeah. And actually, I think it is a quote by Genevieve Biran. She was a protege of Thomas Troward. And she has a quote that says, hurry is fear. Mm. Hurry is fear. Hurry attached to a fear. And usually it's that you're like going to miss out or miss the mark in some way.
Yes.
And so I actually wrote that on a post-it note and I have that in my car. Hurry is fear. And I had to meditate on that one for a really long time. And I noticed that as I was doing that, I was less and less anxious about my schedule, about getting to meetings early or late. Like, it just didn't matter. Like, hey, I'm going to get there. It's okay. So little things like that, I've been able to work out. But at the end of the day, when I have something that I need to work on, typically it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to spend a little bit of time on that one. But when I do, I'm rewarded every time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going through this process, when you first start to really try to understand yourself and work on yourself, you're going to see stuff all over the place. You will. And you should. It's almost like you're drowning in your own yuck for a while. Mm-hmm. And then you get to this place where you see more positives than negatives. Mm-hmm. But then you realize, you know, I love the quote. I can't remember who said it, but they basically said, life is not a continuum. It's a spiral. And you keep coming back to the things that you thought you already knew because you need a deeper awareness about that. Mm-hmm. And so we have these patterns in our lives and you might find yourself, you know, dealing with things like right now in my life, there are several things I'm dealing with and I'm like, whoa, buddy, I thought we were done with this. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this again? And I'm realizing, cause there's more stuff that you didn't get on the first few times. Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, you just graduate to a different box.
Right. Yeah. I in the last few months, I started working with a different coach and, I was kind of blindsided by my new box. And at one point I was crying and I voxered her and I'm like, it's like, I thought I got through my vault of crazy and there's a whole new vault underneath.
Yep.
like that first rush of awareness, you know, was a little overwhelming for me. Like, oh my goodness, all of this to uncover. But then it turned into, oh my goodness, all of this to uncover.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's almost like the same energy that you can use to be scared, you can also use to be excited. It's like that same weird stomach, heart feeling. And you can say, oh, I'm so nervous, I'm so scared. Or you can say, I'm so excited. I'm so excited, right? And so it's almost, from my experiences, every new box, every new level, whatever, I kind of go through that, you know, and I go through it faster every time, but and I don't know why I have this idea or belief that someday I arrive, because like head wise, I know better.
Because that's how society teaches us, right?
Oh, absolutely. So
when you grow up, you know, one of the professors I had when I was going through my master's, she was doing a study and she would go to second and third graders and she would ask them questions. So her questions were, you know, why do we come to school? And so the answer was, we come to school so that we can learn things. Why? So we can get good grades. Why do we need good grades? So that we can graduate, you know, with good grades. Why do you need to do that? So you can go to college. Why do you need to do that? Second and third graders are able to tell you, you know, the American dream of getting married, having kids, you know, your house, your white picket fence,
all the things. Right?
And then at the very end, she asks, well, what do you come to school to learn just to learn? And even at second and third grade, they couldn't answer that question.
Mm, wow.
They couldn't see that we come to school to learn things just for the sheer thing of learning.
Right.
And it's because they've already been indoctrinated into this is how things should go. And so, you know, we also have this idea about happiness that, you know, when I graduate, I'm going to be happy. When I get the job, I'm going to be happy. Just last night, I got a text from somebody, a client that said, oh my gosh, I just got the job. He's getting paid almost three times what he just got paid. It's going to be an amazing, huge leap for him. And I'm like, great. And my very first question was, what's next? And he's like, what are you talking about? What's next? Like, this is my dream job. What do you mean? What's next? And I said, there's always a what's next. And you have to start thinking about what could possibly be next, because if you don't, you're going to get to the point where you have arrived at your job and now you are preparing for nothing. And right. I said, if you know what's next, even if you know that retirement is next and you know you've got 15 years left to work before retirement, how are you going to make this 15 years mm-hmm. count?
Right.
How are you going to make this position really last for your legacy? That's mm-hmm. your what's next. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just say, oh, I got the job, I'm done now. Huh? No, you've just started. And it's wild, because one of my coaching clients, literally 6 weeks ago, she texted me. Now, she had her perfect dream job. She got maybe 4 years ago after working with me. Mm-hmm. And she said, Michelle, you know, when you asked me that question, what's next? I thought you were nuts. You were crazy. And she said, guess what? And she went on to explain her what's next. There's absolutely no way 4 years ago she would have known that mm-hmm. that would even be in her life, let alone her what's next. And she's like, I can't believe what I get to do now. And I'm like, because you were prepared for what's next.
Right. Right. It's a process. It's not, otherwise you're stuck in conditional happiness. When I get this, I'll feel this.
Right. You can be happy right now. Regardless of conditions or circumstances.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And realizing too, I think this is a really important thing that, you know, I tell my coaching clients all the time, there's this natural up and down to everything in life. We call mm-hmm. it the law of rhythm. And when you're learning, especially with awareness, you know, you're going to have those highs that you go, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And then the other side of it is going to hit and you're going to go, wait a minute, what the hell is going on? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with myself, right? Mm-hmm. And that is normal. And I usually tell my clients, listen, somewhere between week 4 and 7, you're going to have this little monster coming for you. And it's going to tell you all the things that, you know, it's going to bring up doing that the whole time. When in reality, you know, week 4 to 7, that monster hits. Mm-hmm. And if you're not prepared for it, you think there's something wrong with you. And so that's one of the very first things I always tell my clients. Listen, I don't know what week it's going to come for you. I just know for sure it's coming for you. I don't know what form it will be. It's coming for you. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that. So when it does, and God forbid I'm on vacation that week, but when it does, I need you to know that it's normal.
Yeah.
And you need that process, because you've got to do that holy struggle of going through that.
Right.
And so if you know that and you say, okay, I'm looking for it, I'm waiting for it, and it shows up, you go, Michelle told me this would happen. Okay. This is okay. I mm-hmm, am normal. Mm-hmm. It takes the power out of that. It takes the sting out of it, but you have to remind yourself it's a cycle. So that means it's coming back. So you're going to get through it and you're going to go up onto a high again. And guess what? Another one is going to be on the other side of it.
Right.
And if you normalize that and say, this is just a part of my journey now, then pretty soon you stop going from these really high peaks and valleys to, you know, more of a normal, almost a flat line. Mm-hmm. And it's a little easier to handle life that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. I think that, you know, nobody gets like a perfect, easy life. Like nobody. And sometimes I think it's hard, especially if you've had a really hard life, to not look around and compare and think you just got handed a bad deck, you know, you have a bad hand.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is you don't know the whole story of anybody else. Andy Andrews, I saw him speak once and he said this and I'll never forget it. And it's kind of what you're describing with the law of rhythm. But he said, you're either in a crisis, headed for a crisis, or coming out of a crisis. Like, that's life, you yep. know? And not to be like Debbie Downer, but the truth of it is, like, none of us get out of here without being hurt or yep. experiencing pain. But the beauty of it is we can control how long we suffer, you know? Like, that's the rub. And it goes back to this whole thing of being triggered and this whole thing of sitting with yourself and understanding where it's coming from and then choosing what you're going to do about it. Like it's all full circle. Like we've talked about like 8,000 different things here in the last, 40 minutes or whatever, but it's all about awareness and it's all about the power that you have. And yeah. I love that. I love helping people see their power as do you. I mean, you do it every day. Like this is like the best thing ever.
And that's the beauty about truly understanding this whole trigger process, because if you allow yourself to be triggered and offended, you give your power away.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
Absolutely. And
let me tell you, I am not perfect in any regard. And even though I have put the time and the effort in, and I've really been consistent with this, there are times when I forget myself and mm-hmm. I need friends to remind me. So that's why you need good friends. You need good people who are on this journey with you. You definitely need a coach. Mm-hmm. However, I do know now, it's like when I feel that what that feels like inside me when I'm triggered, mm-hmm. typically my very first response is to ask the question, what do you want? Because if I can say, okay, what do I want in this moment? Then usually it can start my thought train going down the tracks of figuring out how to get it. So if mm-hmm. I'm having a conversation and I feel like, well, this happened to me not too long ago. I was having a professional conversation with somebody and I was trying to explain something and he was having none of it. He did not want to listen to me one bit. He was interrupting me. He was talking over me. It was not going well. And in the moment, I was just like, what do I want? And I thought, I want him to listen to me. And so the very first next thought I had was, am I listening to him or am I trying to interrupt him? Like he's interrupting me. So I backed off and I paused and I listened and I was really listening for his heart. Mm-hmm. And I realized that he was sharing a lot of fear and it was unfounded fear. And once I truly understood what he was trying to communicate to me and using a lot of professional words to explain it, but really it was about his fear. Then I knew how to proceed in the conversation. And then because I knew what he wanted and where he was going to go with this, the words that I was saying, the tone that I was using was very different because I heard him first, then he could hear me. So yeah. I could be triggered and say, this guy's a jerk. He's not listening to me and storm out of there. Or I could say, he's not listening. Am I listening? Let me change myself here a little bit. And ultimately I got what I wanted. Yeah. And it wasn't a manipulative kind of a way. It was a very honoring and respectful way. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he apologized. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's okay. You were dealing with a lot of fear. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. So we had a much greater connection because I was allowing myself to move beyond triggered and say, what do I want? What do I need? How can I do that? And how can I make sure this is a win-win? Mm-hmm. Not just a Michelle gets what she wants, but we both get what we want.
That it takes a high level of awareness to do that. But it's like a muscle. Like once you start doing it, just if you're new to this, listeners, just dip your toe in the water and just start observing what you're thinking and feeling. Like that's all you have to do. Just start observing and you'll start noticing how you're responding and how you're feeling and you'll start to see patterns. Yeah. And then you can ask yourself those questions that Michelle just shared. I mean, I know it sounds simple, right? And your questions are simple and cultivating your awareness can be a simple process, but it's not always easy.
it is the hardest, simplest thing you will ever do in your life.
Yes, but there is so much freedom on the other side. There's so much freedom and so much personal empowerment and just knowing that you have the ability to navigate your feelings in a way that keep you calm and peaceful, no matter what storm is circling around you. There's so much power in that.
And if I could give your listeners one tip on this whole thing,
yes,
go to gratitude. I don't care what's happening around you. So maybe you're like me and you're going Halloween costume shopping with your kids, which I absolutely hate, by the way. And you're going and you're like, okay, I don't know what I'm feeling right now, but there's a lot of feelings going on and I don't like it. Okay. Go to a place of gratitude. Just tell yourself, what is one thing in the whole wide world that you're grateful for? And just focus on that. I've got a painting on my wall back here. It says gratitude is an anchor. Mm-hmm. It anchors you in any and every storm. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of science related behind this, but basically the gist is your brain cannot feel love and fear at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's physiologically impossible. Mm-hmm. And so gratitude is a feeling on the love spectrum. And so if you're having those feelings, you've been triggered, something is happening and you don't like it, go to the place of gratitude. I don't care if it's something small or it could be something big, or maybe it's one thing, maybe it's 10 things. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But if you go to that place, what you're doing is you're enacting a different part of your brain, which means it's going to enact different hormones. So it will cause a physiological response. You will feel different. Maybe you don't know what those feelings are. Maybe you don't know what to do with those feelings. But if you can get to a place where you're gratitude, where you're grateful in that moment, mm-hmm. that's going to allow you to be a little more creative and solve whatever problem is in front of you. And then you can move forward. So if that's the only thing you get from this whole thing, go with that, because that is like the best tool ever in your whole life. Go with gratitude.
I would absolutely agree with it. It opens you. It takes you from a point of like constriction to openness. And it can be something as simple as this. And I know we need to wrap up. This has gone long, but I found myself really, really frustrated the other day picking up my kids' laundry off the bathroom floor. Okay, we lived in a motorhome for a year, and now we live in an 800 square foot cabin by choice. Okay, it's amazing. But literally, it's 800 square foot. Like, the laundry room is like four steps from the bathroom, and it has a nice laundry basket in it. And so the kids had showered and all of their clothes were on the floor in the bathroom, which is not very big, again, 800 square feet. And so I'm grumbling to myself as I'm picking up the laundry. And then all of a sudden I had this flash of awareness. And I'm like, I have 4 years left with the kids. 4 years. Look how big their clothes are. They're so grown up. They're almost as tall as I am. I'm cleaning up clothes off the floor of my cabin, and I live on a lake, and like, you know, it totally changed everything. And just like that, it totally changed everything for me. Instead of grumbling and feeling going down a spiral of negativity, you know, I was in positivity and openness and love, and I wasn't angry at them and, you know, whatever. So or angry with myself about my lack of parenting skills that caused this, because that crossed my mind too, you know.
Oh yeah.
We want to beat ourselves up sometimes. So yeah, I love it. I love that you brought up gratitude. Yay. So Michelle, how can people connect with you?
Oh, you know, I think the easiest way, honestly, because you have podcast listeners, connect with us through the podcast. There's a ton of episodes on there. So we're on Anchor, if you know the Anchor platform, but you can look us up. Our title is Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. I often have different ways on there of how you can connect with us through different social media things, through courses or online offerings that we have. We also have this really cool tool that's basically a personalized search engine. So we have I think we have almost 380 episodes in our podcast now. And oftentimes people will say, hey, do you have a podcast on XYZ? Yeah, pretty much probably. If it has to do with thinking, I probably do. And so we'll have that link in there that you can just go in and maybe you need forgiveness or maybe you need gratitude. Something sparked in you and you're like, I want to delve more into that. Mm-hmm. It easily use that search engine and it will pop up all the different episodes that are just for you that you need, as opposed to listening to all 380 of them.
I love that. I love the search factor of it. And listeners, if you haven't checked out Michelle's podcast, you've got to. So anytime I need a thinking fix, I put on one of her podcasts. And the thing is, some of them are like 7 minutes and some are 27 minutes, you know? And so you can do it while you're on a walk or while you're commuting. And it's just great actionable tidbits, like things that really make you think differently all day long. So I love it. Michelle.
And I will say this though, that if you're going to listen, you need to be aware that I am going to challenge you to think.
Oh, absolutely.
Change your life. You know, you're not just there to get entertained, that right. I'm going to ask you some hard questions sometimes. So be ready for that.
I love it. Love all of it. Thank you so much for being here.
My
I think
pleasure.
We should like
this is fun.
I think we should do a series. We should think of like something that we could do
together.
That'd be awesome. And we could even post it on both of our podcasts and share it out that way.
Yeah.
I love the going back and forth and just building on each other's ideas. And I love how you think and you inspire me. And I'm so thankful that you're in my life. And thank you. For being
right
here
back at you, sister. Right back at you.
And listeners, we thank you for being here too. I know you have all kinds of options when it comes to choosing who you listen to, and we appreciate your time. Until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.